And Paul said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Acts 9:2. May only the truth be spoken, and only the truth be heard. I pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I feel that I need to begin today with a brief apology. During this period of the pandemic, the sermons are pre-recorded. The message I gave last week was based on the readings for this week. So if any listeners were confused by the mismatch of readings and message, it was not your problem. So here's the sermon which matches last week's readings. Those who are listening to this sermon likely attended dozens of different schools, few of us graduating on the same year. We likely all had different school experiences, but it's likely we had some experiences in common, too. We remember our teachers, recesses, and school friends. We likely also remember some time when we did very poorly on a school test, or if we struggled with some school subjects throughout our school careers. How our areas of weakness are addressed, how we are corrected when we have misunderstood something or not known the correct answer, is really important. It's true not only in our school years, but in our work, in our relationships, and in the church. Yes, even in church, sometimes we need to correct one another. How we correct one another is vitally important, and there's a model for us in the second reading for today. The second reading appointed to be read today is from the book of Acts, the beginning of chapter 19. The context is that Luke is recording Paul's missionary journeys, and in this particular journey, Paul is traveling in the area of Ephesus, on the west coast of what is now the country of Turkey. Paul is preaching, teaching, and evangelizing. But while in Ephesus, Paul meets a group of Christians, a small local church. But as they're talking, the subject of the Holy Spirit came up. And Christians, including Paul, understood that we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit as we're baptized. But the Christians in this little community hadn't actually heard of the Holy Spirit. They only knew about the kind of baptism that John the Baptist practiced, a baptism of repentance. That's a pretty big gap in their Christian understanding. So what does Paul do? Paul doesn't shame these young Christians, nor does he leave them in ignorance. Instead, Paul takes the time to explain the way of Christ more accurately. Then they receive Christian baptism, they receive the Holy Spirit, and as a sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives, they speak words of prophecy into the Christian community. But today, let's consider especially that the people were corrected in a gentle, clear, and respectful way in the early Christian community. We see other examples in the New Testament. For example, just a few verses before, at the end of Acts 18, there was a preacher named Apollos, who was also a bit unclear about what Christian baptism is about. So two early Christian leaders, Priscilla and Aquila, take him aside and explain the way of Jesus more accurately. We read of the same kind of correction in Galatians 2. Paul, Barnabas, and Titus are in Jerusalem, and Paul helps them to understand that foreigners, as well as Jewish people, could become Christians. But Paul speaks with discretion to some people. Galatians 2:2. "So I went up," Paul writes, "I went up to Jerusalem by revelation, and I laid before them, but privately before those who were of repute, the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, lest somehow I should be running, or had run, in vain." Of course, how many times did the Lord Jesus himself lovingly correct his apostles? Countless times. So when correction needs to be made, it needs to be done with sensitivity and respect. People who ought to know better, but persist in sub-Christian behavior, often need to be challenged more boldly. And we read about that in Galatians 2 as well. The Apostle Peter knew that the gospel was open to all, and we can share a meal with whomever we want. But Peter had drawn back from eating with the Gentiles because he was worried about what the other Jewish Christians would think of him if he did. Paul challenges Peter directly, calling Peter by his Aramaic name, Cephas. Verse 11 and following. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood self-condemned. For until certain people came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when after they came, he drew back and kept himself separate, for fear of the circumcision faction, that is, the Jewish Christians. And the other Jews joined him in this hypocrisy, so even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not acting consistently with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? Paul understood that we have to hold on to this important principle. We are Christians because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. We can't earn our salvation by our good behavior. So we see there were times in the apostolic church when some correction was needed, when people needed to learn how to follow Jesus Christ more accurately. For people who didn't understand, they were corrected gently and privately. For people who knew but were rebellious, they were challenged and corrected more boldly. That's continued in the church until today. Sometimes people need to be corrected. And when we correct an error, it's not because we do not love people, but because we do love them. We love them enough to help them be better. There can be different kinds of correction. The people in Acts 19 made a mistake in not knowing the fullness of the gospel. It was a confusion about Christian teaching or doctrine. But there are also times when we need to correct or be corrected because of a moral error. For example, in 1 Corinthians 5:1, Paul writes that he was aghast to discover that a young man was being sexually intimate with his stepmother, his father's wife. And immediately Paul rebukes this sinful behavior. None of us is perfect. Only God is perfect. We all need correction at one time or another, and sometimes we need to correct others. Something to keep in mind. Let's be sure we're correct before we correct others. A few years ago, I attended a lunch party for a young man in the military who was going to a new assignment. The commanding officer gave an address at the end of the meal. He spoke warmly of the young man's convictions, but then brought up when a young man had disagreed strongly with his superior officer. A pretty serious state of affairs in the armed forces. But it turned out the young man was absolutely wrong. The gentle warning by the commanding officer at that lunch was, be sure you're correct yourself before you take it on yourself to correct others. Jesus warns us about taking the big plank out of our own eye before we take a little splitter from someone else's eye. Part of being the church, the body of Christ, is to keep going Christ's way and to care about one another, to make corrections when needed. Let's do so. But if we correct others, or if we are corrected ourselves, let's act and speak with humility and in love. Amen.